The Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks to our sponsors, Hilo Auto Sales online at HiloAutoSales.com and Tire Pros of Frederick. We've had the privilege, I hope you're looking at it that way, of listening to a message that I had an opportunity to preach at Poolsville Baptist Church not too long ago, focusing on 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, called You May Know That You Have Eternal Life. This will be the final message in this series of shows on that passage. This is the fourth of four, I guess, is the way it's working out. And next week, if all goes well, God willing, the creeks don't rise, as they say, we will have a regular panel discussion show with the good doctor, Jace Broadhurst, joining me, your mixmaster, Troy Skinner. I'm here, The Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD online at WFMD.com. Keyword faith takes you right to the Faith Debate page. I'm going to jump into, I got to slow this down. I got two pieces of audio coming out of the same device. So I got to get out of that one and then slide over to this one and get ready to go. So here we go. The last half of You May Know That You Have Eternal Life based on sermon based on 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21.
God is a jealous God. He justly maintains his holiness. He righteously guards his honor. At the risk of sounding heretical, for just a moment, imagine God guarding his honor and holiness. Imagine him as a guard dog. This great, big, awesome Rottweiler guard dog. A Rottweiler with sharp teeth and powerful haunches and a vice grip for jaws. Penetrating glint in the eyes. Are you imagining this imposing, unpredictable guard dog? Hair standing up on his back. Now imagine approaching him. Go ahead. Reach out your hand. What are you waiting for? Walk right up. Ignore the growl. Ignore the snarl, the bark, the fangs. Sure, the Rottweiler could rip off your arm, but you have another one? Do you really need both legs? Or these skins on and surrounding your face? Do you really need all those pints of blood kept safely inside your body? Now, if you're not afraid of Rottweiler guard dogs, then imagine something that does scare the behebes out of you. I think you get the idea, I think. It is appropriate to remember that God is not safe, but he is good, to paraphrase C.S. Lewis. He is good to those who are his, and so his church can approach him. And when we do, we can know that he hears us. And he grants us what we ask as his church. This is what John is saying. He keeps us safe because his church is made up of his children. And he gives his children understanding, revealed in Christ to those who are themselves in Christ. What is this that we, the church, have been allowed to understand? If the church asks for anything according to his will, then God hears us. Well, what is his will? God's will is that his church go and make disciples, that his church go forth and be fruitful and multiply. God's will is that we yield to his word, that we love one another, that we love our enemies even, that we announce the kingdom of heaven. This is God's will. And so when we evangelize for the chosen of God to respond to the call of God on their life, then we can know that God hears us. The church has been given the keys to the kingdom, after all, as we learn in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And this applies in an important way to our individual prayer lives, too. Again, John there's talking about corporate life. But it applies to our personal life, too. Verses 16 and 17 are not addressed to the corporate church specifically. The pronouns are singular, but you and I as the church particularly are in mind here. And as a reminder, here's what those verses say. Verses 16 and 17. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Okay, so let's slow down. This is one of those passages that befuddles Bible readers. What is John meaning to say in this section? Pray for those who don't need it, but don't pray for those who do need it? This can't be what he means. But it's how some puzzle over John's statement. First half of verse 16 seems to say, pray for the fellow Christian who sins in a not very serious manner. So light is the offense that it doesn't even lead to death. And the last half seems to say that if someone is in danger of death, don't worry about that. Is this what John means? Well, it can't be. And the happy news is that is not what John means. He's not talking about specific levels of sin at all. As if murder is a bad sin and gossiping is a comparatively good sin. It's not what he's talking about. And we know this for sure from the context of the rest of the letter and the context of the rest of the biblical canon for that matter. The wages of sin is death. All believers understand this. The Apostle Paul states it flatly in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So there is no acceptable level of sin that does not yield death as its result. Wages are what we're paid. Debts are things we pay. The wages of sin, death. Sin brings a debt and it must be paid. The sin must be paid for. Sin always results in death. So is there a typo in our Bibles here? Some sort of transcription error perhaps? Did John make a mistake? Rest assured, there is no mistake here. John knew, and in part because of him, we know, the debt for sin has been paid in full by Jesus Christ for those who trust in him. This is the good news. So, while sin does result in death, when Jesus absorbs that penalty for his people, then sin does not result in death for them. God the Father's people, trusting that God's Son has rescued them from the path of death, they are now led down the path that gives life by God's Holy Spirit through faith. When the church, that's us, when the church prays, we should pray that God's people be reminded of this truth. This is the point John is making here. As for the sin that leads to death that we do not need to pray about, first let me say that it might be important to notice that God's word is not commanding us never to pray in these situations. What we read here is permission to focus on prayers that will bring God's people, God's chosen people, into reconciliation with their Creator, rather than focusing on those who stubbornly remain unrepentant, refusing to allow Jesus to pay their debt. And that sin is what leads to death, because the very nature of the sin is to reject the life preserver, clinging instead to idols of their own making. Now, we can pray for these people. John is simply telling us he's not arguing that point right now in this letter. He's focusing on the other point that we've been emphasizing this morning about knowing believers that you have eternal life. He's arguing for Christ followers to maintain confidence that they really have what they think they have, what God has told them that they have in Christ. Remember the thesis statement. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants you believers to know. We forget, and so he reminds us to remember. And he calls us to pray for those who comprise Christ's church to be called back to this truth when they slip up. When they sin, when we seek life in someone or something other than God himself. So allow me to remind you one more time, brothers and sisters, we know him who is true. And this gives us confidence, or at least it should give us confidence. We can have confidence in him far beyond the confidence that we can have in anyone or anything else. As we've already talked about, when praying, God hears his church. He hears us. Compare this to my situation at home. Do you know how many times Dina has said to me, "You don't listen to me"? I listen, I just sometimes don't hear her. You know, she used to drop these huge, painfully obvious hints about what she wanted me to buy her as a birthday gift or a Christmas present. And I failed just about every single time to get her what she wanted, what she was asking for. It's hard to hear her when I'm not listening. God's not like that. He's not like that. Here's what he is like. You ever see the movie Courageous? In that movie, there's an opening scene of a parent pumping gas, and he gets distracted for a moment, and during that moment of distraction, some thief jumps into his truck and starts to drive off. And this guy, he chases after, and he dives and grabs onto the truck, and he's hanging on for dear life, and the driver's swerving around trying to knock him off the truck. He starts punching the guy in the face, trying to make him let go. He won't let go, and the truck finally comes to a screeching, crashing halt as it bangs into a tree. Thank goodness no lives are lost. It is a crazy scene. A crazy scene of crazy love. That guy really loved his truck. No. The father was willing to risk everything in that scene because his baby child was in the back seat of that truck. Because of his love for his child, he risked everything. This is the kind of heavenly father that we have. He holds his people in his protective embrace. He saves his people spiritually and ultimately physically too. As Satan tries to steal the truck. So God hears us. God holds us. And God humbles us. It is humbling to truly know who God is. As Saul, also called Paul, on the Damascus Road, in Acts chapter 9, when he comes to know Christ, to understand that he is true, the truth, Paul is humbled. He drops to the ground. He calls Jesus Lord. I remember years ago, when I was just getting started in the radio business, I had an opportunity to visit the studios of WLUP in Chicago. It is a legendary station in the business. The production facilities were dazzling. I was mesmerized. I felt kind of unworthy as I stood inside this great heritage radio station, which had produced some of the most compelling and innovative radio programming of its generation. It was humbling being in the station. How much more humbling being in the Christ. Those of us in Christ, what do we know? What has God revealed to us? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. This is what we know for sure. Yes, the world is a rotten place sometimes because it's under the influence of the evil one. And we know that sometimes we give in to the temptation of the flesh, of our broken human nature, and we sin. But we know, as those rescued by Christ, that we do not continue in sin. We don't wallow in our sin. It's not what defines us anymore, because God keeps us safe. We are his children, and to his children he gives understanding. And so the evil one can do us no ultimate harm. We are protected by being in the body of Christ. The church, that is what is called the body of Christ. The bride of Christ. Christ, who is the true and eternal God, giving us true eternal life. Real life. Christian life is real life. Accept no substitute. Jesus Christ, the Son of God Most High, is the way, the truth, and the life. In and through him, we know the way. We know the truth. We know the life. We know our Creator is the real deal. Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. Accept no substitute. As John writes in the final sentence of this letter, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Accept no substitute. And know that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your promises. We thank you and praise you for the confidence and the knowledge that you keep your promises, that everything is fulfilled in and through Christ. We thank you for calling us, those who are currently in a place of understanding our salvation in Christ, calling us by your Spirit to be in this place. And we pray for those who are still grappling with and wrestling with whether or not they are in this place, that your Spirit would actively and persistently call them to yourself so that they can know what it is to have you hold them, hear them, and humble them. Thank you, Lord, for your bride, for your church, for this gathering of your people who come together to praise and worship you, to lift up your name. And it is in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
And there we have it. That is the conclusion of the message on 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. You may know that you have eternal life. And I thank you so much for indulging me and playing the message for you. I've broken into two pieces, first half last week, this half this week. That makes sense, this half this week. Juggling so many technical things here, getting all the audio switched around, doing this like an octopus this morning. I want to thank our sponsors, Hilo Auto Sales online at hiloautosales.com, and also Tire Pros of Frederick. I want to thank my longstanding partner in crime on this show, John Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Church. Sure he's doing well and will hopefully be on the show, at least as a guest, if not as a regular partner again in the future. Right now, regular partner is Dr. Jace Broadhurst, and he wasn't available this week either. So he's on sabbatical, so we'll give him a break, right? But he's going to take a break from his sabbatical and come on the Faith Debate show and get some shows done here in the coming weeks. So we're looking forward to that. If you want to hear this sermon that was just heard in all at one time, you can do that by going to the podcast and listening to part one and then immediately to part two. And you can hear the whole sermon kind of in one session if you would find that helpful. You can find all sorts of our past shows. There used to be hundreds of shows on the WFMD.com website, Audio Vault. That's no longer the case, but there's still 50, 60, 100, I don't know, somewhere in that, probably less than 100, but dozens of shows still up there. And of course, certainly the most recent shows are up there, so check that out. WFMD.com, keyword faith is how you get there, or just go to the Audio Vault. And you can also listen to the Faith Debate on iTunes, and you can subscribe, and I encourage you to like it on iTunes. I'm told that that's a good thing for you to do, so I'm going to ask you to do that for me. All right, till next week, 167 and a half hours from now, God bless.